Kyle Redlin for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make...
that isn't going to happen. The libertarians write letters.
She co-sponsor with liberal, Democrat, communist, socialist people. And, you know, and stuff that get very popular. When she retired at a retirement dinner, we got up and spoke. And the one thing that it was very interesting to a lot of people, I just go, look, you know, all this great legislation you guys like, well, it was from her courage, understanding how liberty-oriented it was, that it got introduced, and it was a libertarian concept, ha, in your face, you know? So this was, and we cleared that with her, make sure, you know, she wanted to let them know. She wanted to make sure that we let them know that, you know, it's not a left-right thing. So this is, we introduced Karen to the staff member, Penny, from Dr. Paul's campaign, and that's how that contact was made, and it grew from there. Then, of course, the first campaign fundraiser that Dr. Paul did was in Arizona in March of 07, and they went, damn, you know, they got it going on here. That worked out pretty well. Yes, it did. So there has been a long line of behind-the-scenes understanding from people that have years, even before the presidential campaign, that we understood what was happening. So I'm going to be sharing that with you probably, you know, if we get time this week. You know, I don't know. We're hooking up with a lot of the people, but we're kind of waiting. You know, we'll wait. It'll be before the RNC convention in Tampa. And I haven't made a decision to go, not go. I initially inclined not to go. Then, you know, there's a lot of people and friends and people I know, and they were encouraging even the non-voters, the anarchists of the movement to come and participate and be part of it, because they know the power that we've had behind it. And, you know, and the only reason I take the label of anarchist is that, you know, I'm just, you know, you're forced to take a position on fixing this or none. I'm like, seriously, if that's my choice, you know, that, you know, I've got to try and, you know, patch the Titanic, you know, or get on another ship, or learn to fly. I mean, you know, I get off the ship. I mean, you know, that if that's my options, you know. But so many people are just really, I'm traveling the country talking to them, trying to get an idea. A lot of people know that there's something wrong. And I'll tell you, the perspective is different by age group or your even, you know, where you live. You know, what your experiences have been with government and so on. And that's why we're doing this. I want to, you know, meet with a lot of people that I respect and love, and family members, and to get back in touch with, you know, just what's going through the minds of the people, because we're in a different phase. You know, this has been, I've been on a quest and a search for truth, you know, uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what we do on Freedom's Phoenix, reigniting the flames of freedom. You know, this concept is more than just words. I mean, it's trying to put into a bumper sticker exactly what it is that you're trying to do. We just want to know the truth. You know, we're seeking. And I'll tell you all about when we come back today. In the second hour, we're going to have the relocation guy for Liberty Fellowship, Pastor Chuck Baldwin's congregation up there. And then Pastor Baldwin's going to spend time with us at the end of the show. And I'm going to show you everything that went on this weekend.
We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix digital magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe. Freedoms with an S, PhoenixEZine.com.
Take control of your money today and do it with style. Young Austrians are right now fashioning the silver economy. Would you like to take part? find all the tools you need at DontTreadOnMeme.com. Don't Tread on Meme is the only place where you can get your hands on silver dime trading cards with the most unforgettable designs, like Clint Eastwood's Fistful of Silver Dollars, Murray Rothbard, Enemy of the State, the Ron Paul Lovolution, and the cover art of George Orwell's book 1984. Download the free silver calculator app from the iPhone or Android markets and get up-to-the-minute silver spot prices at your fingertips. And hey, we're all Austrians now, so why not express your passion for silver and promote the ideas of honest money with Don't Tread on Meme's clever apparel. Boycott an empire of theft. Buy silver. Trade with value. Build a society of consent. Do it all at DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's DontTreadOnMeme.com.
My name is Jacob Hornberger. I'm president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, which Congressman Ron Paul awarded for having an outstanding freedom website. Write us at fff@fff.org, and we'll send you a free 3-month subscription to our monthly journal of libertarian essays and our booklet, Economic Liberty in the Constitution, which George Mason University economics professor Walter Williams praised in a recent column. That's fff@fff.org.
Imagine someone in your community getting in their car, turning on the radio, and hearing the Liberty Radio Network. You can make that vision a reality with your own micro radio station. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how you can put our programs on the air in your area. You can have lrn.fm running around the clock, and you can even add in your own local shows. Building a radio station is simple, but programming isn't. That's where lrn.fm comes in. Learn more at broadcast.lrn.fm. That's broadcast.lrn.fm.
Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this, right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it, and once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
Immigrating to the Shire was easy. I was instantly plugged into a community of individuals who also care about peace, liberty, and justice, and are willing to do something about it.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Then you know, you're out here in the Lone Prairie, there aren't any roads. There's a highway. That's about it. You know, this is you watch a lot of Westerns and so on, and you get the sense of, man, big, giant, open spaces. You go, where did they take those? I mean, everywhere I go, there's a road or a telephone pole or something, power line or something somewhere. You just come up here in the Northwest, and I tell you, you find plenty of open land. That's another thing. Everybody's always about, oh, there's so many people, oh, we're so crowded, we can't take one more immigrant. Right, you know, come out to the West. Well, you know, this is, you know, let me go ahead and share with, there's some new people listening, I'm sure. Let me tell you what we're doing. There is a movement that has spawned from the Dr. Paul's campaign, but it was already there. And a lot of people didn't understand why we were so confident what was going to happen. And those that listen to the show regularly, I'm going to be repeating a lot of things, which I do a lot anyway. You know, I'm a bumper sticker guy. I mean, you just keep, you know, freedom's the answer, what's the question? You know, freedom good, government bad, bad, bad. You know, I mean, heck, I had to go back to three. I started with one, bad. Then it went to three, five, seven. I mean, you have to start over again. It just starts getting every time, you know, some bad. I mean, seriously, how bad does it have to get? So what I'm going to do is there's some new people that are listening from Liberty Fellowship in Montana. And we got a moment to talk with a couple of people and just kind of and you'll say, yo, what's up? But there's, they, you know, I think they would benefit from just understanding what our perspective is and why we're supportive of Pastor Baldwin. But, you know, there is a difference. I mean, difference. There's diversity in the freedom movement. There's diversity in, you know, those that advocate for liberty. In on this program, Porkfest is coming up. And it's a, you know, somebody asked me, well, what is it? I don't know. Naked zombie dancing. You know, that's just a phrase I always use. Whenever anybody would say, oh, you libertarians, oh, you're leaving our corporate Christmas party to go to your libertarian party. What's that? Oh, naked zombie dancing. You know, just, you know, whatever. Just to, you know, put in their head that, Donna, pull up on the seat. The one thing that I just want to give them, there's a wide open idea, wide open definition of freedom. I mean, it's just, you know, just, it's so, there, it only has one common factor with them. And the freedom-oriented libertarians that embraced Dr. Paul, the reason there were so many young people is because they understood the definition of libertarianism. And a lot of people don't. You know, they think he's conservative. No, conservative may be Rand. You know, conservative may be, you know, pick a bunch of the others. Ron Paul is libertarian. And even when you go, and but people hear what they want to hear. I've seen examples of it constantly. It's like they got selective hearing filters over their mind. When we go to Minneapolis-St. Paul, when we went to the last convention 4 years ago, the Republican National Committee, they had their convention. Dr. Paul had his rally for the Republic and rally to restore the Republic. And there were, when he gave his speech, I mean, he talked about, you know, his atheist supporters, his anarchist supporters. He understands, he knows where the power of the movement is coming from. But he's still a politician. He's playing in the Beltway. He knows how the games are. And I understand. I don't want to have anything. And for those that don't know, in personal conversations with Dr. Paul, to someone like me, I just want to know the truth. And you can see, you know, weird stuff happening inside the campaign, in the politics, in the race, in Campaign for Liberty, in the Young Americans for Liberty. You just have, you know, you just go, come on, man. There's got to be a, you know, something I can hold on to. There's an anchor here somewhere. Give me the anchor. The words out of, and this is Dr. Paul, the words out of my mouth and the votes that I take on the congressional floor when I do my vote, those are mine. Words, my vote, mine, non-negotiable. Rest is just politics. Okay. That's, you know, all right. I can live with that. You know, he stand up on stage and he said, that's him. Now, this is what I think. None. You want to know what I think? That's what I think. You know, you want to know what I support or don't support? Here's my vote. You know, that's on record. You can hear the words out of my mouth and what comes out of my vote. Now, when you get emails or letters from the campaign or it's signed by Dr. Paul, whatever, you know, that's, you know, we'll see. Now, today, after his son Rand did the endorsement of Mitt Romney and all this kind of stuff, it's going to be interesting. I've been holding off because today, I'm not even going to look until after the show today, there is Texas Straight Talk. Every Monday morning, he releases an MP3. It's a phone. You can access it by phone, call a number, and they put it up on the Internet. And we always put it up on Freedom's Phoenix. A lot of other people, Daily Paul, and a lot of these guys do, too. Yeah, we'll talk about Michael Nystrom from Daily Paul in a little bit. He had something to say this weekend. You go on the Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and you can see his letter to everybody. And this is, he and I become friends, and I tell you, you know, there's an understanding in the movement. And a lot of people, they're so selective in what they want to believe or hear. You know, they go, well, so-and-so said, thank you. I go, really? You know, I know these people. That's not what they think. That's not what they said. You just imagined it. You know, let me go and try and help clear up your imagination. There is a movement based around one simple thing. And a lot of people, they can't embrace it because it convicts them so much. Christians always talk about being convicted, okay? I was convicted. What it is your conscience. You're going, yeah, you know, I may say this. I may be a little hypocritical on that. I may advocate for this, but this is what, you know, yeah, I was convicted. I convicted myself but the knowledge that I was not being consistent on something or whatever. Well, let me give you an example of that. The non-aggression principle, the NAG, okay, and it's called, a lot of people, they call it the zero aggression principle. The non-aggression principle is very simple. Thou shalt not aggress. It'll sound simple. It's, you know, as a person of faith myself and raising four children, you know, from, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, you know, 6 years, they went to Phoenix Junior Senior Christian High School in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, it was a lot of work. We foregoed a lot of stuff. I mean, we got used to new cars, what's that? You know, it was very important to us to make sure that our children got that experience, a good education, surrounded by people that understood the difference between right and wrong. You would think so, but I tell you, you go into the school parking lot in the 2000s, man, I mean, you know, you're saturated with W bumper stickers, and and they knew, as a libertarian activist, as a talk show host, a lot of them would listen to my show. I'd go speak at the school. I'd be running for office. They'd have, you know, their little mock, you know, elections and so on. I'd do well. You know, it's kind of, you know, so they knew. You know, my children were popular. They were in the sports team, captain of the football team, that kind of stuff. So they knew my philosophy. And the fathers, we go out to dinner and we hang, we're at football games, they're more supportive than you would think. I need to understand, yes, I understand the Christian perspective on things and the indoctrination from the pulpit. Pastor Baldwin is something different. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to educate you on the non-aggression principle.
Do you want to take back control of your own money? Then take a look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the world's first decentralized, anonymous internet currency, and it's gaining popularity every day. It's free to use, free to accept, and free from inflation forever. You can use Bitcoins anywhere in the world. To learn more, visit weusecoins.org. Your dollars are going down. Learn more about Bitcoins at weusecoins.org. That's weusecoins.org. There's a legendary piece of equipment in the radio world. It's the CC Radio 2. It has the best AM reception, bar none, thanks to their twin-coil ferrite AM antenna. It also has stellar FM reception, plus ham and weather. I recently got one. It's the nicest radio I've ever owned. If you're not familiar with the Sea Crane Company, their products are lauded for their quality by experts the world over. I highly endorse the Sea Crane Company. Get the CC Radio 2 at ccrane.com. CCRANE.com.
Hey, this is Mandrake.
And this is Jay.
And we're getting ready for Porkfest 2012.
Porkfest is the Free State Project's Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's happening June 18th to the 24th at Rogers Campground in Lancaster, New Hampshire.
And this year's Porkfest will be the best yet.
Why is that, Mandrake? Because of all the great speakers that'll be there? Or maybe the family fun events? Perhaps you're excited about Flaming Freedom's big gay dance party?
Actually, I had no idea any of that goes on.
You had no idea because you and I spend all our time running the George's famous baklava food stand.
And that's why I'm so excited. Every year we get to meet so many great people who stop by for food and jokes, some of which are a little dirty.
Yeah, about the dirty jokes, we should try not to offend so many people this year.
It was one person, and I thought her wooden leg was for the pirate party.
Oh, and don't forget all those times you walked away for 5 minutes, only to return 2 hours later.
I kept getting mauled by all my fans.
You fell asleep on a picnic table!
Oh, right. Hey, you want to wrap this up?
Go to porkfest.com and register today. That's PORCFEST.com.
On Free Talk Live, we talk about investing in gold and silver as a hedge against inflation, investment, and barter currency. We've teamed up with Midas Resources to offer you some great rates on some hand-picked gold and silver pieces. U.S. Eagles, British Sovereigns, 20 Francs, Lakota Nation Silver Rounds, Montana Silver Reserves, and Walking Liberty Halves. Call 877-857-9938 or go to gold.freetalklive.com. The shipping is the same for one as it is for 20, so try to get as many as you can all at once. gold.freetalklive.com.
If you can't listen to Liberty Radio Network's internet streams, free satellite channel, or radio affiliates, no worries. You can listen to LRN.FM from any phone, anywhere. Add this number to your phone, 760-569-7753. It's a long-distance call, so make sure you're familiar with your phone's calling plan. The Liberty Radio Network listen lines are locked on our stream 24 hours a day. Call 760-569-7753. That's 760-569-7753.
Hey, Claire, have you heard about Flaming Freedom's bigger, gayer dance party at this year's Porcupine Freedom Festival?
Oh, yeah, Roz. I was at Buzz's bigger gay dance party, and it was a blast. But you can't seriously expect me to believe it'll be bigger and gayer this year. How are they going to top that?
Well, for starters, the tent's even bigger this year, and they're still going to need a speculum to cram everybody in.
What's a speculum?
Never mind, there might be kids listening. Try this. It'll take a shoehorn to insert this soiree into that ginormous tent.
That sounds pretty big, Roz. But how are they going to make it gayer? It was pretty darn gay.
Oh, ye of little faith. They'll have shows by Super Gay Dre and his elite team of drag queens, led by the legendary Violencia herself. They're on it like the Olympic torch is on fire.
I don't think the Olympic torch is on fire right now.
Look, when you're done picking apart my metaphors...
That was technically a simile.
Whatever. It's going to be gayer, okay? I'll bet my stash of precious metals and my basement full of non-perishables, rifles, and 40 cal ammo on it. So, Claire, get your butt over to flamingfreedom.com/dance party and reserve your ticket before they run out.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
In Wyoming, this is, we're on our way to Chris Horse, and we're going to enjoy that today. We're going to get some rest tonight, and then we'll head out tomorrow on our way east, getting to Pork Fest. Now, yeah, let me go ahead and tell you about pork. That's one thing Donna, man, she cannot stand that one commercial. Oh, the Flaming Freedom Bigger Gayer Dance Party. This is, a good segue in understanding, you know, what the future has for the next generation. And I know when talking to people of conservative mindset, you know, you got to define that. It keeps changing all the time. It used to be to conserve the Constitution, to conserve, our heritage. It'd be conservative, you know. And then, you know, liberal used to be to interpret the Constitution liberally to allow for maximum freedom. And if you talk about liberal in Europe, or a lot of places around the world, like every place around the world, it means libertarian. To be more liberal interpretation of the laws to allow the individual to do whatever they want. So when you say liberal in Europe, you're saying libertarian. So here they use the word liberal or classical liberal. You know, for a libertarian, when you say a classical liberal, what you really mean is the old interpretation of what liberal was. Well, there was a conscious effort to do away with that or to have it give it a negative connotation. And I did a lot of research on this, and I could find out from a lot of people that have been around a long time, interviewed a lot of people, and the bottom line was this. After World War II, there was the red or dead, I'd rather be dead than red, and, anti-communist, and they're coming, we got to get them thing. And there was a thing called the Freedom College in Colorado that was Leonard Reed put on these seminars that a lot of people that were exposed to, you know, things like Ayn Rand and objectivism and Atlas Shrugged and just could see the parallels between Nazi Germany or communism or whatever ism, fascism, you know, that you mix business and government to the point you can't tell the difference between the two. That is fascism. And during the 50s, as that was happening, there was a conscious effort to take business leaders and their managers, employees, by the thousands over the years that would go to this Freedom College in Colorado, and they would get exposed to the classical liberal philosophy, libertarianism, the non-aggression principle, the proper rule of government. As that happened, and I've talked to people that were leaders in the conservative movement. In fact, in Arizona, we do a thing called the Arizona Breakfast Club that I inherited from Harry Everingham, which was We the People, that toured the country during World War II encouraging factory workers to work harder, to, you know, it's America, and we're against the Nazi regime. And right after that, then it was against Russia. And the whole concept was they'd have captured U-boat propaganda films that they would show, and they'd do, you know, it's us versus them kind of thing. And it was built in, and it was used to increase the fear and to build the military-industrial complex of what Eisenhower warned us about. After the 50s and during the 60s, it continued, and it became the Goldwater conservatives. And the Goldwater conservatives, Goldwater, was more of the libertarian bent. It was, you know, government big enough to give you everything that you want, big enough to take everything you got kind of thing. So this, you could see the that's why they call it revolution. It revolves. It just keeps coming around. And it's about every three or four presidential election cycles that you have the manifestation of the people just getting saturated with government, and they got a steam valve. Well, it's Goldwater, you know. Then it's Reagan, you know. Then Ross Perot kind of represented the grassroots thing, even though he was a little mini fascist. And then you have Ron Paul. So I'm old enough at 51 to have seen a few of these revolutions, and then talked to people before about where they came from and why. Well, it's happening again, but there's a difference this time. Where they always get hijacked, where you always have guards from the old that will come in and take over the inside of, like the Dr. Paul campaign. They use his son to get some people hired into the campaign and some other people to do, and you kind of a conduit to him. We'll get into that over the weeks and months coming. Yeah, there's more still unfolding on this, but I tell you, by the time that we get to Tampa, the activists in support of Dr. Paul, the revolutionaries, the libertarians, the people that really understood and embraced the philosophy will know. They'll have the videos, the YouTubes, the chronological timeline of it. They'll know all the names, when they did what, how, why. A lot of us have been quiet. A lot of us say, hey, man, you just got to go through this. There is nothing you can say or do that some people are going to let. No, that's just Paul. That's the way. You know, we have. No. It was co-opted from the beginning. That's why. Why do you think that someone that created the Lovolution, that started working very hard, traveled the country, helping people express themselves? I mean, go put the thing up on the chain link overpass. You know, get out there. Say your thing. Go on the street corner. Bust butt. But you never heard me say, vote. Never. Ever. I haven't voted since 02. Heck, I've run for U.S. Heck, I ran against John McCain for U.S. Senate, and I didn't vote for myself. Get it? You know, I know where this goes. So this is, you know, during this time, during 2008, is when I first met Pastor Chuck Baldwin. I was MC along with Gary Franchi from Restore the Republic and RealityReport.tv, and I just talked to Gary yesterday. We're going to hook up with him in Chicago, we hope, but he's going to be on the road. In fact, he's going down to spend some time in southern Texas with Penny Freeman, which was one, and that's where I got off on Sturgis, is there was an event that we had in Sturgis, and Penny was there. So I met her in Arizona. We spent, you know, days in Sturgis talking. And, you know, as time has gone on, we've talked. We've had her on the show. And she's starting to, you know, share what she's known from behind the scenes on what is going on inside the Dr. Paul campaign. Now, what Dr. Paul knows or doesn't know, that's a good question. That's why it's going to be interesting what he says today. And just as interesting what he might not say. I'm listening, you know, for what he doesn't say. We're going to find out today, and we'll talk about it later. Pastor Baldwin was the speaker right before Dr. Paul, a whole day of speech. I mean, it was hot, too, man. We were dunking our heads in water all day. And thousands of people there. And the Capitol West lawn overlooking the reflective pool and the Washington Monument in the distance. And, I mean, you know, it's very nice. So what happens is we're going, you know, we're going to go ahead and enjoy ourselves and have a good time. We did. Pastor Baldwin was very gracious in his time, and we spent a lot of time together. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stories, but I tell you what came of it. You know, you could tell he's just a regular guy, you know, a man of faith, someone that loves, you know, freedom and the Constitution. But you have to understand that as much as he and I have talked over the past shows, if you go on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, you go to Freedom's Phoenix, and the top left, you'll see it says Magazine, Radio, TV. You go there, it has a drop down. You go to the radio shows. You can search for Pastor Baldwin. You can search him, just do a Google search on Chuck Baldwin and Ernest Hancock, or Chuck Baldwin, Declare Your Independence, and you'll see all the shows that we've been on. We've talked about these things. So we'll have more of a conversation today about, you know, what he's doing in the Flathead Valley in Montana up there. Very beautiful, beautiful place. But it's so popular and so well-developed and so modern that, you know, they're very proud of their land up there. It is expensive. So I just, you know, we'll talk to the relocation guy today about moving up there. But next segment, before we get to George, I want to explain the non-aggression principle. How can you look at, you know, Muslims, 13 wives, and gay, libertarian, whatever, and think of them as being more moral than many of the Christians?
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, so you can learn how to protect yourself and your family. Now, you can audit the Fed. You can end the Fed. But why not start by ignoring the Fed? Visit DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's Don't Tread on M-E-M-E, Fashioning the Silver Economy. A meme, a contagious idea that spreads within a culture, a spontaneous order. Nowhere is this more evident than in one's free choice in that most marketable of commodities, money. Let us Austrians use wallet voting. Don't Tread on Meme, the leading craftsman of silver dime trading cards, as well as some offbeat liberty-themed apparel. Follow the history of the dime card outreach at onceuponadime.info and get a silver calculator app at whatisthiscoinworth.info. Boycott an empire of theft. Build a society of consent. Don't Tread on Meme.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order and you're going to obey it.
George, you can go this way.
You can do that and you have to leave here.
You cannot bring signs into the rally.
Walk with me.
Well, I'm comfortable here, actually.
Whoa, excuse me. Hey. Who do you think you
are? Excuse me.
There is no video or audio allowed in this office.
No, I have work today. This is...
You ain't going to make...
Wait. Now. Wait a minute.
Have a funny way of telling people no.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain.
Coming this summer, Derek Jay's Victimless Crime Spree. See the trailer now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Do you feel like there's nothing you can do about the inexorable growth of government? I did too, before I heard about the Free State Project. The Free State Project is a project to get 20,000 liberty lovers to move to New Hampshire to have liberty in our lifetimes. Early movers for the FSP are getting elected, involved in their communities, and participating in civil disobedience. Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.lrn.fm. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit the Liberty Radio Network when you shop at Amazon via shop.lrn.fm.
It's the Onion Radio News. J.C. Penney abandons its 45-second sale. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Word came today from J.C. Penney headquarters in Plano, Texas, that the retail giant will discontinue its 45-second sale. The bargain bonanza, in which all J.C. Penney merchandise is discounted by 60% for 45 seconds starting at 1 p.m. daily, simply wasn't pulling in enough revenue. CEO Alan Questrom.
The 45-second sale drew very
strong customer response, but regrettably, only a handful of shoppers actually got to capitalize on our fantastic prices due to the horrific injuries they sustained during their stampede to the cashier. Questrom added that plans are in the works to create a longer two-minute sale intended to give frantic shoppers at least a fighting chance to enjoy incredible store-wide savings. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This is the Onion News Network.
Do you love Twitter? Make sure you favorite the LRN.FM Twitter account so you can receive our tweets at twitter.lrn.fm. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I believe.
Yeah, I want to break free from your lies. And what's your lie? Oh, you know that you're here to love me. You know, like government. Okay, I tell you, this is how much they love me. They love my teeth. They love my teeth so much they're going to force medicate me with, you know, chemicals. They're going to say, here, you need to get your fluoride because we love you so much. I'm going, you know, that right there, that was as a young activist or just starting to become aware. I was like, you know, they really love me that much? Is that their definition of my teeth? Why my teeth? Where did that come from? And then it just starts, you know, dawns on you, and it starts to occur to you that their whole goal is to, you know, force medicate you. Then we recently had a big activist thing when it came down to vaccinations, forced vaccinations. And think about it. It's the concept of what's the proper role of government? And this is a good one because, you know, we were making the argument as the, you know, the television news had come around, they want to know, you know, what your big deal was and don't you want to, you know, be protected against and you're the herd and the whole herd. And yeah, and some of the herd will die and some of the herd will get sick. But, you know, for the herd, for the collective, it'll be better because, you know, because you're a herd. You're livestock. Get used to it. And I'm just, you know, our grandchildren, none of them have been vaccinated, and they're always, you know, 95%+ of height and weight, and they're healthy. They go, you know, years without. I mean, you know, it's like my oldest granddaughter is almost 3 years old, and she's had like two sniffles. Seriously, this is unheard of. I don't see. The benefit, but that's not even the point. I want to be the mom, the dad, the grandparents. You know, I want to be in charge of my life. So when the television cameras would come, and this directly relates to the non-aggression principle, they go, well, what's your big deal? Oh, you're a conspiracy, you know, whatever. And I go, look, the proper role of government is to defend the rights of the individual. I mean, right? I mean, that was the promise that they made. That was the whole point of the Constitution. They didn't think that the Constitution was going to do a good enough job because it gave, the government the right to determine if it was okay what they did with the Supreme Court. You get the, you know, Patrick Henry's making the argument. You got the executive, legislative, and judicial. What happens when they line up against an individual? Then what? You know, you find yourself in a free speech zone. That's what happens. So they go, no, don't sign this. I smell a rat. That's where that phrase came from. Patrick Henry, I smell a rat. All about the Constitution. So what do? They pass the 10 thou shalt not to government. They do the Bill of Rights. So stop another revolution. Because there are people, man, Thomas Paine, Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson was in France. Man, he wanted to make sure he was, yeah, you need to go to Fouah. And then Hamilton and banker buddies and father-in-law, long story. Hologram of Liberty by Boston Tea Party. You need to read that. And you'll go, okay, I get it. It's all about the money. Well, what happens is, with the Constitution, as good as they could get a collectivizing document, put everybody on the plantation, you know, the ultimate goal was to have a collectivizing document so they could collectively. Hamilton even said, you know, well, how can we have a sustained war if we can't tax the people to fund it? Well, hell, that's a good enough reason not to do it. You know, oh, So you can get, man, I'm not a big giant fan of the Constitution, but, you know, we look at the Articles of Confederation. It was a big movement, kind of do the secession thing. We'll go back to Articles of Confederation. We think it was illegally replaced anyway. But that's not the point. The point is that you believe you need to have somebody wearing the ring of power to begin with. That's the problem. And if you're going to have it, they always, fortunately, they always have to make the argument that they're doing it for your own good. And you'll go, right, what's my own good? Then what will they say? To keep you secure, you know, to protect you from the fear of the fill in the blank, okay? There's some threat. There's always something that's going to get you, okay? Well, they'll oftentimes create the goblins and then offer themselves as a solution. So you go, all right, well, you know, how are you going to do that? Okay, well, we're going to protect your life, your liberty, your pursuit of happiness, to be left alone, your pursuit of it. It wasn't property, it was in the Declaration of Independence. But, of course, you know, your life and your liberty produces something. You know, you have a right to your life to keep breathing in and out. Somebody wants to stop you from breathing in and out. I claim the right to, like, keep breathing in and out, you know, to stop you from stopping me from breathing in and out. I mean, how complicated is that? You know, then to sustain my life, I need to have my liberty to go out and, like, work and produce and provide shelter and clothing and food for myself and sustenance for my body. I mean, that's my liberty is, you know, and what's the product of my life and liberty? Your property. You know, life, liberty, property. To a libertarian, it's just three ways of saying the same thing. So you have to have your liberty. Well, the proper role of government, Declaration of Independence, made it very clear the proper role of government is the defense of these individual rights. And when they cease to do that, it's time to what? Alter or abolish. Oh, we are so way past that. You know, we did in 1994, we did an initiative in Arizona just to make the point. And we filed it, and all it was a Declaration of Independence, and it had where it said King George, it replaced it with federal government. And when it said these colonies, we put the state of Arizona. And every single one of the reasons for the declaration applied. Every one of them. I think we changed like five words just to kind of, you know, make it fit. I mean, it was amazing. You know, it was the same thing. That the government of the day, of today, and back then, send out their agents to harass the people and eat out their substance. So we're looking at, what is the basis by which would determine someone would be a good neighbor? Is it they believe in the same God? Do they go to the same church? You know, do they dress the same way? You know, what about their sexual orientation? You know, what about how many wives they have? What about, I mean, you fill in all these blanks. You know, when are you going to use government force to make them behave the way you want? Or even kill them or incarcerate them? What is your criteria? Because if it's all about, you know, majority rules and gets voted in, well, maybe it's somebody else's denomination or faith or an entirely different religion or none that you're not even allowed to have a faith. I mean, did you think of that? Did it even cross your mind that when you have this power of the vote that you turn? That's what the Bill of Rights was about. It was all about, no, we're a republic, man. It's all about the things that the government can't do, the binding down of the government by the chains of the Constitution, of the things that they cannot do no matter what the vote is, or whether you even vote. So I don't have any love for a central plan from, you know, on the Mordor on the Potomac. I just, you know, you want to have a local election, state election. We'll talk about what happened in the Flathead Valley. It was very interesting that someone from their congregation there, man, he gave them what for. We're going to talk about that. But the thing that I want to emphasize is that in my travels over the years, being associated with libertarians, people that brought me into the libertarian movement were people of faith. You know, if they weren't, you know, maybe I might not have come in. But I'll tell you what I learned. The thing that was the most important was the non-aggression principle. It was, are you one of those leave me aloneists? Are you one of those that understand that if I'm not violating your life, liberty, property, if I'm not telling you how to live, why would you want to tell me? You know, I know the mentality. It's always, if everybody would do what we said, if everybody would give 5 minutes to my cause, $5 to my cause, if everybody would act the way that I wanted them to, well, the world would be better. Well, you think you're the only person that thinks that? They all think that. And if they don't, they promise it anyway. So what if you had a philosophy that you go, and this is why you can go to, you know, these young people at Porkfest, and a lot of them are not. I mean, they'll make a big deal about their, you know, big gay dance party and all that kind of stuff. I've been to them. It's not, you know, as gay as you, well, I don't know, like some people might think it is, but, you know, it's just a lot of people just having fun. They just go in, and it's in the afternoon. It's not even at night, it's during the day. You know, it's in the afternoon. They're just having fun. I tell you, every single one of these activists that claim to be a volunteer, a libertarian, understand, I just want my Christian friends to understand this. They have been the example of the most, as a group, the most moral people I have ever met. They will not aggress against you. They will not tell you how to live, but they insist that you not tell them. They keep their word. They clean up after themselves. They respect your property rights. They understand that, you know, they don't even need a fence. Here's the line. That's a good fence. You know, if you want to make a good fence, an understanding, not aggressive fence. They live it in their mind. Do you, or do you feel you have a righteous indignation to insist to tell people how to live? Are you going to use the force?
What if...